The title of this message is More Than Conquerors. This message is based on Romans chapter 8 and Galatians 5 verse 22. Listening time is approximately 35 minutes.
The title of the message is More Than Conquerors. Now we have to go back to chapter 7 in Romans. Chapter 8 verse 1 begins, therefore. And you might substitute the word because. Well, because of what? So we have to go back. You see, God didn't put those chapters in. It was one continuous, and the verses were put in by a printer. And it's good that it is there, but this person wasn't divinely inspired. And so there's a lot of times things are split up that shouldn't be. So we have to go back to chapter 7. And remember, the whole thrust of chapter 7 could be summed up like this. Paul said, oh, what a wretched man that I am. Of course, he's talking about apart from Christ. But how wretched, and that's all of us. He's given a picture of mankind apart from Christ. How wretched I am. I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I want to do. Can you relate to that? The struggle that goes on? He said, yes, there's like a war going on there. But because of Christ Jesus, and when it puts Christ first, that's emphasizing his divineness. That's God. Jesus, man, perfect man. We've got to keep that straight. So when it's Jesus Christ, it's emphasizing the perfect man. He's the one that went to the cross. See, he gave up his glory in heaven and came into the earth. When it's Christ Jesus, it's emphasizing God in him. And if he weren't God, then he wouldn't be able to take the sins of the world upon himself, because no man is righteous to be able to do that. So what it is saying then, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. In other words, if you have been saved, you're not under condemnation. But the Holy Spirit does do what? He guides and directs us. And how does he do it? By convicting us. And sometimes conviction, condemning can feel a lot the same. Well, if you've been in sin and you're saved, Satan wants you to feel condemned, not God. Remember, Jesus himself on the earth said, I came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. It's supremely important to keep those two concepts straight. So what are we going to be talking about then? Salvation. Those who are saved. That's what this message is about. More than conquerors. If you're saved, you're already a conqueror. And so many times people think that's the end of it. I'm just going to get saved and I'll be on my way to heaven, then I'm going to live the life the way I want to live it. And then we wonder why things don't go as well as they should. You see, because God is not finished, there's more in this plan of salvation, because that is the door that opens up the new life. And the important thing is that our new life doesn't begin when your body conks out and you go to the presence of the Lord, or people talk about going to heaven, then I'm going to have this eternal life. No, you have eternal life the day you're saved. You know that? The Bible teaches that. It's important to believe that, because that will change the way you live your life, especially when times are difficult and things in your life aren't going the way you'd like them to go. Things happen that you can't understand. Sickness, death, and whatever can come, because we still live in a world that's laden with sin, isn't it? In one of our previous messages, we talked about the power of sin being broken. That's why we're conquerors, because the power of sin has been broken. But who did all the conquering? To see, that's the issue. And so what we need to go is briefly look at the cross, but in detail. In Isaiah, it says that his stripes, we receive healing through it. And some people take it out of context. You see, you can take any verse out of context and make a whole doctrine out of it. But you must have the pretext and the post-text that comes with it. We can't understand Romans 8:1, can we? Therefore, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, unless we know what happened in chapter 7. There's no point in being saved if we aren't wretched. And that's what's very difficult when you try to witness to a righteous person. A person like Mormons, their whole point is they have these rules. If I don't drink coffee, have caffeine, and all those things, because you see, that makes me righteous. And God says, no. The best thing that you can do in the flesh, God says, it stinks. It's like filthy rags to me. He's talking about menstrual rags. That's what he's talking about. That's what it is to God. We need to look at it how God looks at it. But the beauty of it is, when you are saved and you are a conqueror, what does it say? That God the Father sees you already placed in the heavenlies with Him. Because He looks at Jesus when looking at you. That's who He sees, is Jesus. He sees you already perfected, though we're not perfected. So salvation is just not the whole thing. So what are these stripes then that we're talking about? Jesus was whipped. And at the end of the whip, they would put bone and metal into it, the very end of it. So as they whipped it around a person, it would roll around the back and they would pull it off quickly and it would tear the flesh. And that's the stripes that it's talking about. Now, it doesn't seem that God was much of a conqueror, does it? That certainly doesn't seem very conquering when you have a soldier, a mere man with a whip, whipping God. Doesn't seem like there's very much conquering going on in there. But there is, if you really look at it. Because you see, He did it for us so that we could be conquerors and we could live that life that He's called us to live. Certainly you can see it in the resurrection, conquering. But there is in all of the stages that go through that time when He's under trial and He's beaten and beaten, and a crown put on His head. He had bled so much that on the way to the cross, when He was carrying that crossbeam, that's why He was faint. And somebody else helped Him to carry it to Golgotha, because He was a man also. And so it's through all of that, when it says you are healed, and so people take it out of context, and what they say, well, I'm a faith healer, because see, right there it says that. And they put all kinds of things together, and they think about physical healing. But God is more important about healing what? First, we are three parts to us, spirit, soul, and body. And unfortunately, we tend to want the body to be good, to feel good. And our society has ads to help you make it feel good. You can spend a lot of money making it look good and feel good. And I'm not saying God says go out and scourge your body. That's not the point at all. There are religions that do that. The Shiite in Islam, on one of their holy days, they whip themselves so badly that many of them die from loss of blood and cutting veins and arteries and everything else. No, God didn't say you go out and do that. See, when He said you pick up your cross daily, He didn't say His cross. He didn't say you pick up a cross because they take care of your sin. You know, what's that cross He's talking about? It's symbolic. He's saying you are going to be in a Christian life and you're going to have persecution. You're going to have difficulties, but I'm going to deal with that because you are a conqueror and there's more to it than just being saved. That's what He's really talking about. And so as He rose from the dead, we see Him in the glorified body, because we just read here in Romans about glorification. That is an end result. Your body is not going to get glorified until the rapture comes. The resurrection, in other words, is when the body is glorified. What does it really mean then to be more than conquerors? How can I receive that? Because I'm still in this body. And that's what God is saying. And a lot of Christians don't understand this. That there's a lot more than just getting saved. That's just the beginning. But there's a step you have to go through before you can become more than a conqueror. He uses the analogy of a fruit tree. You see, He's the root, He's the vine. We're not the fruit, and we're not to produce the fruit. We're to be the branches, so the sustenance can come from the root through the branches and bear the fruit. That's what it's all about, is fruit bearing. Any of you taking care of fruit trees, they're a lot different than other trees. When I first got into the South and started dealing with trees, I thought I was going to wreck the thing. They trim those trees so there's hardly anything left every now and then. And then it puts all these new shoots out and you have great fruit. You'll have bigger fruit, juicier fruit, and more fruit eventually. If the trees are just left there and they're not pruned, what happens? The fruit gets smaller and smaller and it's not very good. Well, that's spiritually speaking now, what is God doing? It's called sanctification, because He's trying to get us to be in the world but not of the world. He's setting us apart, is a good way to look at it. He set us apart from sin over to grace, apart from the world unto Himself, actually setting us apart from our own selves and the frustration within ourselves, the bondage that's there, unto freedom. There is total freedom in Christ. And that's what He's talking about when He's saying more than conquerors. that you're not just living with the fact that you got saved, and now you're trying to live the Christian life apart from God. Because he goes on and on and on to make you capable of bearing his fruit. That's the key. It is his fruit. Romans 8, verse 28. It's quoted many, many times, and it's out of context because they don't take the post-text in this case. All things God will make to work together for good. And people stop there and say, well, it doesn't matter what I do. I'm saved. I'm a conqueror. Therefore, I can live the life that I want to live. And God's going to take all these things and weave them all together and make some good out of it. I'm not going to balance my checkbook. I'm not going to worry about how much I use my credit card. I can always pay the minimum. I can do this. I can do all that. And all of a sudden, you're in financial trouble. Well, see, it's a false doctrine to think that God is going to take sin or the fact of misuse of things and somehow make it all work out good for you. So what does that verse really mean? What does it say afterwards? Love him is the next part of that verse. What did Jesus say? I know those who love me. And he said what it is. Those who are obedient to my word. If we're not obedient to his word, then we really don't love Jesus. And I have to start out by saying, there are times I don't love Jesus. That's what he said, because I have not obeyed his word. And it's not just getting under the law of the word, we're under grace. It's our heart. You can do things that look good. You could go caroling with the smoothies and go with the wrong attitude, and God would say, stay home. You know that? He would say, stay home from church if you can't come with the right attitude. He even says, don't put your offering up if you have problems with other people. You've got bitterness and anger in your heart. You go out and work it out. Deal with forgiveness and those things. Let's not try to impress God. Isn't that what he's saying? He's not saying that you have to live a perfect life. He tells us that we can't, especially apart from him. He knows we're going to have our ups and downs. That's not the issue. That's why 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. That verse is for a believer. If you confess your sins, he's faithful just to forgive you. But I thought all of our sins were forgiven when we were conquerors, when we got saved, and that's true. He's forgiven us, but can you receive it? See, you will think that you haven't been forgiven, and Satan loves to pay dividends on sin and put you under condemnation to get you to feel that God doesn't love you. Now look what you did. No, God is more interested in one thing. After you recognize you've done something you shouldn't have done, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to lift it up to God? Confession just means, God, you're right. That wasn't the right thing. And there's sometimes you need to go and talk to somebody. There's sometimes you need to go and write a letter or whatever. But you definitely need to deal with God so that you can receive the forgiveness. You know, people can love people and they don't feel that they're loved. The same thing. Sometimes we don't feel we're loved by God because we've allowed things to get into our life to clutter it. I use the analogy, the sun is shining, but you're up in Wisconsin or Minnesota or someplace and there's a lot of clouds. The sun is still there. God is still there. But the clouds are like our sin. You see, they keep building up if we don't deal with them. And after a while, what do we feel? We feel the absence of God. So get to the airport and shoot up through the clouds. Get that exhilaration of forgiveness. That's what it's all about. But he wants to do it to the point when it's just a little bit of a cloud coming. The more we grow in Christ, the more we'll deal with it as it comes along. When you start to stumble, that's the time to deal with it. You don't just ignore and say, well, oh well, maybe the fall won't be too bad. Well, what about a physical fall and you don't try to catch yourself? Just hit your head and do whatever and call 911 or whatever you do. No, God is saying, no, don't go to that extreme. If it happens, okay. But don't keep doing it. Don't keep hitting your head in the wall and then complaining it hurts. That's what he's saying. We're more than conquerors. You're beginning to get the point? So those who love him, and then it says are called according to his purpose. You know, God has a purpose. He has a purpose for all of us. Their general purposes that fit everybody, certainly. And what does he say? Being conformed to the image, the character, the attributes of his son. In other words, of Jesus, that he modeled on the earth. That's what his goal is for us. And you can't do it apart from him. He will do it. See, that's the beautiful thing. He said, whatever I called you to do, I will do if you give me permission. If you surrender that part of your life, I'll take it. If you're afraid to get up and to talk before people and you surrender that to me, I will do it through you. I can help you to sing better. I can help you to balance your budget better. Really, God can do those things. I'm serious. He really, really can. Because our minds say, I can't, because I'm relying on the flesh, the old nature. And people can do a lot more than we think we can do if we have the right attitude towards it and don't think about what other people think. That's what holds us down, is the evaluation. What are they going to think of me? Or what am I going to think about myself and comparing to this person and that person? No, not at all, because this fruit is the gift of God. The gifts of the Spirit is from the Holy Spirit. So what does it say after that then? That are called according to his purpose. Those he foreknew. Now think about this. Those he foreknew. He's talking about those who will be saved. He knew they're going to be saved. Now he's known everybody before they came into the world. Everything. Every hair in our head. Every sparrow that falls on earth. God says, I'm a God of detail. And you're important to me. You're the crown in my creation. We are the crown of God's creation. Why do you think Satan is trying to destroy it and distort it? God created the family. Satan tried to destroy, and he's been very successful in our culture in destroying the family. Because once the family destroyed, he can start destroying the children. And that's our future. And we see it over and over again in the area, especially of sexual. Because that, if you study it in detail, God has placed it on the same level as the Holy of Holies. He has. There's a picture of that. As the high priest went into the Holy of Holies that one day a year, all the blood that had to be dealt with before and everything else, because that's what God is saying it's like. Having that perfect relationship, that perfect union, is a very holy thing. And our culture has made it dirty. That's what Satan wants. And made it entertainment. And more money is spent on the abuse of sex than I think all other entertainment combined through pornography and everything else, prostitution, whatever. See, whatever God has held high, that's where Satan works the strongest. And he knows that if he works in certain areas, he can bring everything down. So God preknew those of us that would be saved. And then what did he say? Those I preknew, I predestined. In other words, I have a destiny for you, he said. And that destiny is to be more than conquerors. So I hope you want to know what that is. What it is to be more than a conqueror. Well, he goes on and says, so he predestined us, and those he predestined, he called. Isn't that personal? You know that God calls people? Have you ever felt the calling of God? Well, you can't get saved unless you did. The Holy Spirit prompts you. You realize there's something missing. And some people, it's a gradual process. And those who have fallen deep into sin and very strongly despairing, it's a very sudden and a very shocking thing of going from there over to here because of that freedom that comes through forgiveness. So he has a plan. Calls, and then what does he do? He said, those I call, I justify. Justify means I made right. I made you right. Jesus said, I made you right so you can stand someday in the presence of the Father and have total, total fellowship, called tabernacling in Hebrew. Total relationship with God. And those that he justified, he glorified. Now, he already sees us glorified, but we're not. So how can we live the Christian life in this body that's not glorified, the body's still decaying because of sin? Even if you aren't sinning, your body is still decaying because of, what did we just read? The curse that was placed on the earth as a fall took place with Adam and Eve. Nature is moaning and groaning for the day of deliverance. Do you know that? Do you know that animals suffer? Animals weren't predators. No way. That came as a result of the curse. And when times are hard, lack of rain, and the animals are dying of thirst, people abusing animals, all sorts of things. We don't be an animal rights person and get carried away, but God says all his creation moans and groans for the day of deliverance. I think as you get older, if you have arthritis and those things, I think you do, don't you? Moan and groan for the day that your body will be glorified, that your soul and the spirit will be freed from the body and you won't have those pains. Because the body holds us down. It's the shell in which we live, but it holds us down. And God says you don't have to be held down spiritually, even though you conquered sin through me. You can live a victorious life, and that's what it means to be more than a conqueror. So what really is it then? It's the gifts of the Spirit. Now I'm going to read them. They're in Galatians 5:22. I'm going to read them one at a time. I want you to think about that word and think about what does it mean to you? Because these are the fruit of the Spirit. Now the word fruit is a strange word because it could be singular or it could be plural. Sometimes people say the fruits, but the Bible says fruit. So it's referring to a particular fruit and many of the same variety. Or is it saying they're all kinds of different fruit? Because there's a comma after the word love, and there's a comma after every one. Some people teach that there's one, and that's love, and then everything else comes out of love. Now, I think they're all different but interrelated. So think about them as I read them here. The first one is love. They're in an order for a reason. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. Now, is there anybody who doesn't like those? How about other people extending that to you? Do you like to be around loving people? People that are joyful, at peace, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness? Don't we all want that in a person, especially if you're married to that person? You put your trust in them, right? Yes, we want all those things, but look at they're in a sequence. It begins with love. Love is the first fruit. God so loved the world. He loved us when we were sinners and was willing to die for us even though we were sinners. That's his love. He's talking about agape love, unconditional love. That's the love he's talking about. Now, it's hard for us in the flesh to have it. We never reach it. But if you're more than a conqueror, you will have a love that transcends the love that most people can comprehend. You can begin to love people that are hard to love. I'm not saying 100% of the time, but once you begin that way and to recognize that they're lost or they don't understand what they're doing. What did Jesus say on the cross when it was pretty much over with and they were still doing some more jeering and things? He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Now, they knew what they were doing. Spiritually speaking, they didn't. They didn't know this was God. They didn't know why he really came. They got caught up in the whole circumstance. And that's what he's talking about. And when people are mean to you and say things, many times they don't know what they're doing. They're just angry and upset, many times within themselves. And so to have that love, you see, then that is going to bring the joy and the peace. Now, it's not saying that you should try to mentally build yourself up and say, well, I'm going through this terrible experience, and it's going to be joyful. You know, my husband just died yesterday, and it's the most wonderful thing that ever happened. Well, what kind of marriage did you have? Usually, if there's been an illness, there's a mixed feeling, isn't there? There's a release because that person isn't suffering any longer, and then you feel that guilty because you're glad it's over with. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about you don't grieve, you go into denial. No, that's not what he's talking about at all. He's talking about there can be peace in a storm. Why? Because it's God in the storm with you. That's what Psalm 23 is all about. This valley of the shadow of death, it's not a funeral thing. It's used at funerals all the time. The person that the funeral is all about is already deceased. It's talking about a live person going through sanctification, going through the Christian life, the valley of the shadow of death. You can't have a shadow without light. Where do you think the light's coming from? It appears to you that it's hopeless and dark and everything else, but Christ is there. So there are going to be times you're going to be in the valley. How do you think you get pruned, sanctified, if you don't get in the valleys? You start following people who preach this mountaintop theology, that is not the Bible. Yes, sometimes we feel like we're on the top of the mountain. We feel very spiritually high. We're soaring like with the eagles, spiritually speaking. But God does His great work in those valleys. You know that? Think about it in your own life. If you have never had some difficulties come along and you were able to get victory in those, you're more than a conqueror. And you see, you grow through that. And the next time somebody comes along, you have a greater understanding. You're stronger. And you can come alongside somebody else who's going through it or about to go through it and walk with them through it. Because you have this fruit to share with them. That's what it's all about. And so it gets to the very end. What's the last thing it says? Self-control. Well, that doesn't kind of fit all the others, does it? Wouldn't you think you would put it first? If I can learn self-control, then I'm going to have the love, the joy, the peace, and all that other. I've just got to get self-control. God said it's at the end. Why? See, man's way would try to control it. Control yourself. God says you can't control yourself apart from me. You can work at it. You can superficially control yourself. You know what it's like? The ceiling's falling down and you're holding it up. Now, as long as you're holding it up, it's fine. But maybe you want to eat. So you're going to take one hand down and do some cooking or something. You see what I'm saying? How long can you hold it up? And there are people that do that. They come in and are conquerors. The power of sin is gone in their life and they have salvation and they have this wonderful feeling of release and freedom and love and peace and all these things. But you see, God hasn't produced that in them yet. They just feel the exhilaration of forgiveness and that burden going off. Then sanctification starts. And right away they're upset. Because they just want to be a conqueror. They don't want to be more than conquerors because that's the goal God has. He wants you to live that heavenly life as a Christian on this earth. You know that? Why do you think Paul, in the people even after Paul's time that were being martyred, could sing hymns? You know, Nero, when he dipped the Christians in pitch and tar and tied them to a stake in the Colosseum around different areas, they lit them as torches so they could have picnics with the light of the burning Christians. That's true. And know what they were doing as they were burning? They were singing the hymns of the church. And do you know what happened to the people that were there, the other people? They went crazy. They went insane. They couldn't accept it. They couldn't believe it. Because these people were more than conquerors. Can you see that? That should be a real encouragement to us because then God will have that self-control in us because He's conforming us to Himself. So whose will is it? Who's really producing the self-control? It's not me. It's really God. Can you see that? So in other words, it's God's will, and you live God's will, you don't have to try to figure it out. That's what he's saying. So the heart of this message is allow God, if you are a conqueror now, allow him to sanctify you. That's making you holy, set apart from the world. Being in the world, but out the world, no. You don't want to be like the world. You are going to be persecuted. You know, the more time goes on in our country, you're going to see more legislation against the church. They may require the churches to pay taxes. I wouldn't be surprised. On all their property. They may require you to pay a tax to go to church. To get a license to go to church. They do in some countries. Just try to discourage people from going to church. All sorts of things. Or there might be people machine guns outside threatening. And so on, like there are in some countries. But there have been examples all over the mission field in various places where people were far more than conquerors. I just want to share one with you that happened in Siberia. I'm not sure of the time period. I think it was post-World War II. The woman and her daughter, I think the rest of the family had been killed, as the Bolsheviks took over Russia, the communists. and she was a devout Christian. And she took her Bible with. And it was very much of a prison and a work kind of a place and very cold in Siberia. And so as she went about sharing the word with other people and was joyous, one day the guard, the head guard, was suspicious and thought she had a Bible. And he said, "Do you have a Bible?" And she said, "Yes. Go and get that Bible." So she was obedient. She got the Bible. He said, "Now I want you to throw that Bible on the ground and spit on it and deny Christ." And she said, "I can't. I can give you the Bible, but I cannot do that." He took out his revolver and put it to her head. "I'm telling you one more time, you want to live, you do what I say." Her answer was, "I am going to be alive anyway, no matter what you do." He put the gun away. He turned and started walking away. And one of the other soldiers took his gun out and killed him. And the widow of that man came to her and says, "Tell me about your God." Anybody that would stand up like that, that's the God I want. Was she more than a conqueror? Yes. Now, we may not be facing those situations, but we can still have that. We really can. And that would be my encouragement to you. Don't just be a conqueror. Don't just say, "Well, I got saved and that's it." Allow God to prune you, to do whatever he wants. And that can be painful at times, but it also can be joyful in the process, because he has a goal to actually glorify you in a spiritual sense in this life before you get that glorified body, and then it's all complete. Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you and glorify you that you're such a loving God. Lord, you've done it all for us. You had the plan before the sin even took place. Before we came into this world, for each and every one of us, you had a specific plan, and then you had a general plan for all creation, Father, to be redeemed, to be saved, to be a conqueror through you, Father, through your Son. And that we can be more than just saved if we will just allow you to prune us instead of slap your hand when things don't go the way we want. You orchestrate things, Father. There's no way we can have patience unless you put us in situations where we could be impatient. That's how you work. It's only the way it will work. And then we can receive that which you have for us in this life, so that when we reach the end of these physical days, and the rapture and all that takes place and our bodies are glorified, then there's no choice. It's over and done with. We aren't going to be really that involved. We just receive it and it's over and done with. But right now we can work with you on that. What a wonderful thing. We'll never have this chance again to be in the body and to have these choices to make, to stand for you and allow you to make us whatever you've called us to be, Father. And so we just thank you for that. Thank you for everyone who came here. And I pray that this message, whatever you have for each person, that it will change their life, Father, as you want to change it, to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thing that is. May we rejoice in that and just praise you and glorify you, Father, because you're willing to do all that. All we have to say is, "Yes, yes, Lord, you're right. Go ahead, do it. Yeah, I'll give this up. I'll just release this to you. I don't know where it's going, Father, but it doesn't really matter because I know I'm safe with you." And that should be our attitude, Father. You've given us the faith. Let us stretch it. Step out, Father. We pray all this in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.